there, everybody. Welcome to a special edition of the Android Central Podcast, coming to you a little early this week, and coming to you live from London, England.
Absolutely.
That famous voice you hear is Mr. Alex Doby, who has come down from Manchester. I am Phil Nickinson. I am the host of this podcast and the editor of Android Central and all that stuff. And I am also here in London, sitting right next to Alex, which only happens once or twice a year.
Yep.
So we're going to do things a little different. We're not actually doing this podcast live this week. Hope you forgive us, but we have a little bit of really cool stuff for you, and that is all new, all official Samsung Galaxy S3. Or is it the Galaxy S3? Or is it the Galaxy S3?
I think all three are right in their own way.
It is the Galaxy S3 with Roman numerals, by the way. So we've been going back and forth on...
Yeah, and that's the least important thing about the phone. But
yeah,
it's Roman numerals if you care about that kind of thing.
So it's official. Tonight in London at Earl's Court, Samsung has unveiled it. We have actually gotten a little bit of a heads up and gotten to play with the thing already. So Alex and I want to talk to you about it and tell you about our experiences and whether or not it shot lightning bolts out of its 3.5mm headphone jack and blinded us with awesomeness. So where do you want to start? You want to start just basic specs?
Sure. I mean, we've got a list of specs right here, and really a lot of the stuff that we heard pre-release has turned out to be true. We've got a 4.8-inch screen, so Super AMOLED HD.
They're calling it 4.8-inch HD Super AMOLED.
Yeah.
It seems like they always kind of rearrange the way they... Is it Super AMOLED HD?
I think the idea is that it's AMOLED. A Super AMOLED screen, and the resolution is HD, so they put the letters before it. I don't know. It's 720p. It's Super AMOLED.
I think they do it just to screw with us.
Yeah, maybe. I mean...
306 pixels per inch, if you worry about that sort of thing. It's, you know, slightly lower PPI than you get on the iPhone with 326. Slightly less than you get on the new HTC One X.
But that's just because of the size of the thing.
Yeah, right. That's because of the, you know, the tenth of an inch screen difference.
Yeah.
You know, it's the screen looks a little different to me. I think I probably prefer the Super LCD 2 better, and I've been using that for a couple weeks now. But
yeah, I mean, it's difficult to... We had all three to compare today, and we've got pictures up now. But I think that the biggest difference between the Galaxy S3 and earlier Super AMOLEDs is really the color balance, which it seems like they've got it perfect on this new phone. I think... You're always going to get better. There are certain things about Super LCD which is always going to look better. You're not going to get the extreme contrast that you get on some Super AMOLEDs, but it looks good. It's probably a step up from what we've seen on devices like the Galaxy Nexus. So I'm happy with it.
Let's talk about just kind of the basic physicality of the thing. So
yeah.
it's a big phone, right? It's not Galaxy Note big.
You know, it doesn't feel like a big phone. I didn't I'm using a 4.8-inch phone.
Right, and here's partially why. They've crammed a 4.8-inch display into a more, I hate to say traditional because it's not traditional, but into a more normal 4.6, 4.7-inch body, basically.
Yeah, and it's the same thing they did with the Galaxy Nexus, which only really feels like a 4.3-inch.
I tell you, what, without getting into the rest of the design just yet, but this really almost does feel like Samsung's version of the Galaxy Nexus in spirit, if not necessarily in execution.
Yeah, it kind of does. I mean, we've had this kind of shape for a while in the Nexus line, haven't we?
Yeah.
It came from the Galaxy Nexus and the Nexus S, and even back in the day, the original Nexus 1. But it really looks like they've taken it, they brought that on board with their new sort of design philosophy, which they're telling us today is all based around nature and sort of smooth lines and curves. And there were very keen details that there was not a single straight line in this phone.
Right. That was a big design cue for them. And in fact, as I'm looking at it from all these weird angles, and I think I found one or two, maybe almost.
Well, the battery's
straight
a straight
lines.
Line.
Well, the battery's a straight line.
The SIM card's still a straight line.
Yeah. There are things that doesn't quite apply to. Let's talk about kind of the front of the device right now, because that's the business end of the thing, right? So you've got the big honking display. You've got front-facing camera, so it's, what, 1.9 megapixels? Call it 2 megapixel front-facing camera.
Yeah.
It'll do 720p video recording. They made a big deal about that. That's not necessarily new.
I don't think I ever used my front-facing camera.
Yeah.
It's good to have the option there, I guess, for people to do, but...
It's got kind of a big earpiece, which is good. I mean, fine, it's an earpiece, whatever. Down at the bottom is
buttons.
Kind of been a button.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the buttons. That's been a big ball of contention.
I'm fine with buttons. I've used phones with buttons. I've used phones without buttons.
Okay, so this has capacitive buttons on either side, the menu buttons on the left.
And it does, yeah, I mean, this might seem a bit strange if you've not used an international Samsung phone, but this is the way they do things outside of the US.
Right.
They have the big physical button. And they have the two capacitive ones side by side. So,
what do you think about a menu button on an ice cream sandwich phone? This is running Android 4.
Yeah, I think
three or four.
It's 4.404. Yeah. I think it's going to piss Google off. Normal users, I don't think, are going to care. People are used to having a menu button.
Here's what I thought was cool. So they got rid of the multitasking button, and I'm okay with that, actually. I prefer having the menu button. To multitask on this thing, you hold down on the big home button, and it pulls up actually the same sort of multitasking as you see on the Galaxy Nexus, the same stock big preview, swipe left or right.
Yeah, so they've kept that. They haven't done what HTC has done and redesigned that.
Right.
That's just,
I'm okay with either one. That's me personally.
I'm kind of agnostic about the whole task switching thing anyway.
I
honestly very rarely use it on my Galaxy Nexus, so...
I've been using it more because I have some apps, Seismic, that still don't necessarily handle networking right and will crap out on that respect, so I need to kill it. And I tell you, that's so much quicker than going into the app settings and stopping the app that way.
True.
So I found myself using it for that, but not necessarily for switching.
And actually, here's why I think they've done this with the buttons, and it's to do with their Olympic branding. And this is a big thing for them because they're a big Olympic sponsor.
Oh, yeah.
Their Olympic logo for all their phones is... The same basic design we see in the Galaxy S3 there. It's a curved phone.
Right.
With a button at the bottom and a menu and back. So, and that is plastered all over Samsung's Olympic sponsorship stuff.
Okay.
So I think whether they've been forced into that because of the previous decisions they made with Olympic sponsorship or whether that's a separate design decision, who knows. But...
There's going to be a lot of people who are still upset that they're not using on-screen buttons. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, like I say, it's a design decision. Maybe this is just because I use so many phones, but I'm kind of, like I say, agnostic about the whole thing. I don't really mind either way.
We'll show you how Samsung implements the menu function. You know, you remember how HTC had to kind of do a workaround because we're still waiting on developers to update their apps to the new ice cream sandwich designs. And again, I know people are trying to blame the manufacturers for this, but they had to do something.
Yeah.
But actually, it's not a problem on this because you've got a dedicated menu button. So you're back to normal.
That's your solution right
now.
Yeah, so, I mean, other specs, we've got, it's all the usual stuff. We've got an 8-megapixel camera, not 12, like was rumored. So
it's almost,
whatever difference that makes.
Yeah, they didn't go into great detail about the camera, whereas HTC is really selling its one.
On the other hand, they've got a lot of the same basic features that HTC has in the One series.
Well,
very fast capture.
Samsung's been doing cameras pretty well for a while now.
Oh, absolutely,
so
yeah.
They had less of a jump, but it can do some of the same sort of thing. So while you're shooting video, you can take still pictures.
Yeah, and I think the guy said it was it would take them at 6 megapixels while it was doing that.
Well,
yeah, so you lose a bit of resolution, but I mean 6 is still perfectly fine.
It's got HDR built in, panorama, all that good stuff. It doesn't have like the Instagram type effects that HTC has done with its new One phones. But I've always thought Samsung's camera, you know, since
and you've got Instagram for that.
Right. Especially since the introduction of the Galaxy S2, I think, has just been a whole new, and even a little bit before, like the Infuse in the States, Samsung really started stepping up the cameras. So that's been good. 2100 milliamp hour battery.
I was just looking at that. 2100.
Removable 2100 milliamp hour.
Actually, it's crazy that they've got that capacity of battery in there, in the size of device that this is.
Right.
You really need to sort of hold it in your hand to appreciate
how... Not really, because I've got, a 2,000 milliamp hour battery in my Galaxy Nexus.
Yeah, but it bulges out of the back, doesn't it, kind of?
Slightly.
I don't know. To me, it feels ever so slightly smaller.
Right.
And ever so slightly lighter, and maybe a little bit better designed.
I like... We'll get to this in a second, what I really like. But yeah, it's removable, so that's a big thing. I know that's a big thing for a lot of people. It's a big thing for me. I know I've been crowing about the battery life on the AT&T One X or the HTC One XL outside the States, and it really is good. But there's nothing like being able to just swap batteries and not having to worry about charging.
And they managed to do that without really compromising the design.
It's still,
you know, it doesn't have a really obvious battery door. It really sort of flows into the overall design. And it's...
Flimsy battery door, though. I know people worry about that, and I don't know why. I think it's a ridiculous thing to worry about.
You're meant to be able to...
Flex it,
because, if you couldn't flex it, what's it going to do? It's going to snap. And it's the same with Gorilla Glass.
Yeah, I mean, don't worry about the battery door. Seriously. It's not a big deal. Removable micro SD card.
Yep, that's all good.
Up to 64 gigabytes of storage.
Yep. And we've got, I think it was 16 and 32 built in, which I guess is going to change.
That's going to change depending on where you buy it, especially for those of you living in the States. Let's preface all this by saying this is the international version. We will absolutely see specs change as it comes to the States, maybe even regionally in Europe or Asia. The other thing we haven't talked about is processor.
Samsung didn't mention a whole lot about this today, but
they've already announced.
Yeah, we already know. They already announced it. We've heard not officially, but we've heard that in LTE markets, it's probably going to be a Snapdragon S4, which, again, not necessarily a big deal.
Yeah, not a bad processor, as we've come to learn. So, again, if you're worried about that sort of thing, cool. We'll have more on that later as more versions get announced. More big physical things about this. So it really does have nice, graceful lines. The bezel is broken up. If you haven't seen by now, there are actually two colors. Pebble blue and white.
Yeah. Color. I mean, the pebble blue does look, you have to really, it's kind of like the blue Galaxy Note.
Yeah, it's a dark
blue. You have to really, really look to tell if it's blue.
They are the two colors. If you go back and look at the promo materials and the invitation to this event, you saw the white kind of drop and blue drop. I know there were rumors about liquid metal. Just toss those out.
Yeah,
those
I can see where they came from. The back is kind of...
Sure.
It's got this sort of... I don't know whether it's a paint effect or something on the back that makes it look kind of metallic. But there, it's not metal. It's
there's a silver stripe that goes around the bezel on the side. And it's actually got like an old school Samsung Wave Bada feel to the design of it.
It's actually kind of, if you compare the 1S here, it's kind of similar to that.
Almost, yeah, actually. And the way it curves.
Yeah.
And I'll be real curious to see if HTC has anything to say about any of this. I'm sure they won't. But I think it's very nicely designed. It is very round. They've gone very fluid in the design.
Very shiny.
Yeah, very shiny. I tell you, I like the gloss. So we had a whole bunch of phones there with us that we were comparing with. And Alex and I have been using the HTC One X and One S pretty exclusively lately. The One X is matte, has a very matte finish to the polycarbonate. I like the glossiness better in the Galaxy S3, I think.
Yeah, I think there's a place for both. I think my concern with the glossiness of it, especially on the blue one, is that it's going to pick up knocks and scratches. I mean, you get that anyway with any device, but...
And we already saw some on the demo.
The ones that have been used briefly there had a few nicks around the back. But again, you get that with any device, and especially it's going to be especially noticeable on something that's glossy around the back.
Anything special about the camera housing? I mean, it's flush. I got some nice pictures of it.
That's good.
And you can really see in comparison to the 1X.
It doesn't perch awkwardly on a surface when you've got it laying down flat. That's good, I guess. 1080p recording, all that good stuff.
It'll do MHL, HDMI out through an MHL adapter. It'll do DLNA. It has NFC. It does Wi-Fi Direct.
Yep, and we've got...
weighs 133 grams. Yeah, so it's really not heavy. It's nicely balanced.
Yeah, and we should mention the thickness too. I mean, it's not as thin as the 1S. It's not the 7mm phone like we heard in rumors before.
But 8.6mm is not bad.
Not at all bad, and it's I don't know. I think we're starting to see manufacturers move away from just being the smallest, having the thinnest phone just for the sake of having the thinnest phone. It's not practical to have a really thin phone.
Let's talk about some of the cool software features. So yes, Ice Cream Sandwich. TouchWiz, now they're not giving TouchWiz a number, so it's just TouchWiz. It's just the new version of TouchWiz. A lot of this I really like, and a lot of it I'm just kind of like, eh, all right, more of the same.
Yeah,
start at the lock screen. So here's where Samsung can do some really cool design stuff when it wants to. The lock screen, when you touch it, it's like sticking your finger in a little pool of water. So you get that visual effect, and then you get the sound of a drop of water. They came running over to make sure the sound was turned up so that you could hear this. And it's actually really cool, and it's a really fun little design cue. And then
it's part of the whole nature thing.
Yeah? Sure.
The slogan we've got here is designed for humans, which is, okay, it's designed for humans. Humans are going to use it.
I hope so.
Yeah.
My dog's kind of jealous. No, and when you pick it up, it's very... very natural like that. And the overall physical design, I get that.
Yeah.
The problem, and this is my one major problem with it, I think, is you have this very organic lock screen. You're interacting with it. You're sticking your finger in a little pool of water. You have the sounds. It feels very nice. Feels very tranquil, very peaceful. And then you throw away the lock screen, whatever. And then you're in TouchWiz.
Yeah.
It's kind of more of the same old TouchWiz.
If you're not sold on TouchWiz, this probably isn't going to change your mind. And we were saying before, it doesn't... Individual elements of it are very well designed, but the design, there doesn't seem to be like an overall vision of the design as a whole, at least in terms of the software.
Right.
But in terms of feature set, you can't really fault it. We've got the lock screen shortcuts like we have in Sense down at the bottom. You can...
Customize them.
Yeah, customize them. And there's a kind of a cool little... feature where you can launch straight into the camera by holding the device flat, pressing your finger down, then twisting the device, which...
It seems like a lot of work.
Yeah, I'd rather just press a button, but I guess it's kind of cool they can do that.
Speaking of which, no dedicated camera button, by the way.
No, but Samsung never has that, really, do they?
TouchWiz is TouchWiz. You got a lot of widgets.
I mean, it's a different TouchWiz. It doesn't look like TouchWiz 4. You know, different wallpapers, different live wallpapers, different icons, different everything.
Sure, but same idea. Colorful, same blocky. And I tell you, I think some of this falls on Google in the way that the UI has always kind of been over-designed a little bit. Like, there's still a little too much wasted space between things.
Yeah, maybe. I think the what we'd really want to see is more of an ice cream sandwich style,
right?
A design from the top down.
Whereas Sense 4 really flows well with ice cream sandwich, and I've heard me talk about this ad nauseum. I get that it very much feels like it's a part of ice cream sandwich and not on top of it.
This is on top of ice cream
sandwich. This is very much more on top. And that's not to say it's sluggish in performance or anything.
It's very fast.
It's very fast, but in design, you can tell it's very much Samsung on top of ice cream sandwich. Yeah, and
I think you say what you like about the menu button. I don't mind the menu button, but the fact that it's there indicates that it's Samsung doing their own thing,
right,
rather than looking at ice cream sandwich and necessarily saying, okay, how can we build on top of that?
And remind me, because I haven't used a European phone in a while, is the menu button always on the left?
It is when you got a Samsung phone. Okay. Yes,
because that was the one thing that was kind of bugging me was, I kept trying to hit the back button on the left.
Yeah, you get used to that.
But that's a regional thing, don't...
And actually, it'd be interesting to see whether the US carriers do their usual thing of replacing that with a four-button setup.
That would not surprise me at all. Or three-button setup, I guess, now.
Yeah.
What else? So, you've got the big kind of clock and weather that, yes, is still very much borrowed from from the HTC design. But
I would say I'm not the biggest fan of the new weather widget. It looks a little bit sort of, it's got straight edges.
Right. Straight lines.
And okay, you've got straight lines in the software elsewhere. You've got the bar at the top and all that stuff. But yeah, it doesn't seem to flow quite as well with the rest of it.
Yeah. I will be putting a third party launcher on this. I'm just gonna come out and say it. I'm gonna use TouchWiz to use it and to review it and to enjoy it. I'm 99% sure I'm going to put a third-party launcher on it. We need to talk about the notifications pull-down, because they've done a lot of tweaking here. This was a big thing when I was at HTC a couple weeks ago. We talked to them about, because they didn't touch it at all.
No, and they used to, didn't they? They switched it back.
So Samsung has a whole bunch of customizations in these. You have a whole bunch of quick toggle settings at the top of the notification bar.
Yeah,
like
you have even more of those now.
Yeah, you can actually swipe through it and get to even more, and we'll have pictures so you can go look at them. So you got that. You've got your traditional notifications. You can still swipe to get rid of them, so that's good. The settings little gear icon is still up there.
Yep.
It's tucked in there very tight. You could almost miss it if you were looking for it.
Yeah, it's very much just the ice cream sandwich stuff with your TouchWiz elements in there.
App drawer?
It's actually, they haven't really changed too much in the app drawer.
Yeah.
Some of the 3D effects from ICS aren't there. It's horizontal scrolling, but yeah, kind of everything.
We need to talk a little more about the camera and face detection and
because they have a lot of cool new technology like that in there. We've got, the way a traditional phone works is it turns its screen off after, say, 30 seconds or whatever, and it does that regardless of, maybe it won't do it if you're watching a movie or whatever, but most of the time we'll switch it off. What this does is every, say, 15 seconds, it'll activate the front-facing camera very, very briefly, work out if you're looking at the phone or not, and if you're not, it will switch it off. So it means if you just...
Say, it's looking at you.
Yeah, it is looking at you. It's not looking at you all the time, so...
I saw it winking.
You know, with the battery drain of having constant camera activity, but... It is useful.
And I get that people are going to say, oh my God, it's totally going to use the camera. It's going to use the battery.
Well, yeah.
What is Samsung doing? I guarantee you Samsung has thought of this and has worked it into the power management scheme. Now, will it work? It works. We've seen it in action.
Yeah.
How will it work in regards to battery life? Don't know. We're going to have to, really test that and see. But it's a really interesting idea.
Another thing we've got which is pretty cool is the... I hate to call it a Siri replacement. Let's be honest, it's a Siri replacement.
S-Voice,
sorry.
Which stands for Siri Voice, right?
Maybe, yeah. So, similar kinds of things you can do with that, you can do with Siri. It'll tell you the weather, it'll tell you, I guess you can probably activate calendar stuff in there as well.
If you haven't watched our video of it, we're sitting there testing it, And I ask it, hey, what's the weather like in London? As if I don't know that it's cold and rainy. And dude, your weather here sucks, by the way.
It does. I'll give you that.
I'm telling you that in case you didn't know. And then, of course, I blurt out, how much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
And it tells you exactly
how much. And the room goes silent. Everybody's like, what the hell is that guy doing over there? And damned if it didn't come back to me after about 5 seconds and say, a woodchuck could chuck all the wood it could if a woodchuck could chuck wood. It's classic. Go watch the video. It was really, really good.
It's great stuff.
So, yeah, it works. It's got a big list of things you can tell it. I tell you, the one thing I thought was really cool is how you can bring your... It will automatically dial people for you, which sounds horrible. It sounds like a terrible idea if you're looking at somebody's contact... Or I forget where all it does it. I'm going to have to go back and look. But basically, say you're looking at your wife's contact number. Instead of having to push the button to call her, you just pick the phone up and put it next to your head. Like, you know, the very natural motion of picking the phone up, putting it next to your ear to make a phone call.
Yeah, I mean,
and it will automatically dial. Now, I'm not quite sure. I think you're going to have to set, like, a default number for that, right? Because most of us have a number.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll work with a default number, I guess.
Yeah.
I think it's cool. I think most people are just kind of... geared in their own mind to just press a button to do that.
Well, and I'm a little hesitant because anytime something wants to automatically call for me, I think of all the times that I misdial from doing that, right?
Yeah, that could be problematic. So just looking at more things we've got here in the software, because there is an awful lot they've added in. We have Dropbox Preloader. We've been told that
you will get
50 gigs of storage.
Yes, that's twice as much, isn't it?
It's twice as much as HTC.
Yeah.
So 50 gigs for 2 years. I guess they saw what HTC did and wanted to one up them naturally. We've got also first for Android preloaded on there.
Yes, Flipboard.
Flipboard for Android. We've got a quick walkthrough of that, I think.
It works really nicely. It's big, it's colorful. If you haven't seen Flipboard, if you've used Google Currents, Flipboard is like the original version that started out on iOS. And we don't actually have it on Android. You won't be able to go to Google Play and download it. It will only be on the Galaxy S3.
For a limited time.
For a limited time, yeah. Yes. Yeah, I mean, absolutely, you know it's going to hit the store, and you know somebody's going to rip it and upload it.
The APKs.
Don't do that, guys. Please don't do that. That's not cool. But, yeah, so actually that's a big deal, because that's a really popular app, and one that Android has been calling for some time.
Definitely.
The browser's good.
But yeah, it's stock mostly. It's very fast.
Again, here's my thing with stock browsers. It's like, we know we have Chrome in beta. Mm. We know Chrome is going to become the browser at some point.
Yeah.
So there's just no way
it's not. There's no incentive for them to add much more into the browser. And they haven't. And fine. The stock Android browser is good.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't need people to mess around with it. Looking at what else we have in the software here, a lot of the interesting stuff they've built into it has to do with face recognition. We've already heard about the, the thing that activates when you're not looking
right
away.
So I have a picture of me, I think, uploaded to my Google account, right? That's my default picture.
Yeah.
So when Alex goes to send me an email, it will have my picture there, but it's going to go a step further. It's going to say, hey, there's Phil's picture, and any picture Alex takes, it's going to look at that picture and see if it recognizes my face or anybody else's face in it. And when it does that, it will let you automatically share pictures. It'll let you automatically share them with different services, so that's good.
And it'll actually automatically group pictures based on who's in them.
Right, so you can have your own
contacts.
You can have your very own Phil Nicholson picture group. Everybody wants that.
Yep.
In fact, that needs to be a default feature of every phone, I think.
So we've also got some interesting features with NFC.
Yes.
This is the stuff we're seeing is really kind of an evolution of Android Beam, which incidentally is also on there. Mm-hmm. You can now send files from one
phone
to another.
They call it S-Beam, by the way.
Sorry, S-Beam. So you can now send files of any kind, be it pictures of videos in the gallery or stuff in the file manager, just in general, from one phone to the other using an NFC connection and a WiDi connection. That's Wi-Fi.
WiDi is different.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Not a WiDi connection.
No WiDi.
Okay. So Wi-Fi Direct.
Wi-Fi Direct.
Yeah. So what you have is you touch both phones to back, and similar to what you do with Android Beam, press the screen, fires it across, and a Wi-Fi Direct connection is established between the two, and it zips the file across. Fast, easy. We tried it. It works.
It's got some, and I'm flipping through pictures here, looking at everything. It's got some power settings, so you can set it to like a low, you know, low power use thing, and it will govern the CPU and slow things down or whatever.
That's just an easy way to, you know, you don't need to install any kind of rooted stuff that might need that. Generally, I found some other Samsung phones have that. Generally, you're not going to want to touch that because it just dims the screen way down and underclocks the CPU, and you're probably not going to want to deal with that unless you're really, really low on battery. But yeah, we've a lot of interesting new stuff there, and we're just sort of flipping through and seeing what we've got.
So you've been using the HTC One phones for a couple of weeks now. You've used the Galaxy S3 for all of, you know, 10 minutes. What do you think? What's your initial reaction? Is it enough to make you put down the 1S or the 1X?
You know, I don't know. I know that's not a very good answer. I think I would be perfectly happy with any one of those three phones. That's a cop-out, but and there are different areas where each phone is strong. I mean, you've got all the you've got Sense, which is, you know, hands down better designed than TouchWiz is.
Right.
You've got, I think that maybe the physical design, the hardware probably is a tie between the two. You know, some people prefer the matte finish of the 1X, or maybe you like the metal finish on the 1S. But it's all three are very, very nicely designed phones.
What else? United States availability, we have absolutely no word on yet.
Yeah, well, we have no word on availability just
anywhere. But yeah. I know a lot of you guys back in the States, like, I'm not going back there in 24 hours. Hey, all you guys back home, you bunch of losers. No. We just don't know. So it's going to be up to the individual carriers to announce.
Yeah, I mean, if I was to guess, I would say it would be out in Europe probably by the end of the month. That is a total guess, but it wouldn't surprise me.
I'm trying to think of anything we haven't covered very briefly. I mean, it's got the Samsung All Share stuff.
So, and you can actually do downloads over that now, I think, for whatever that's worth.
Right. It's my problem with that is it's still proprietary.
Well, it kind of is. I guess the downloading stuff will.
Yeah, I mean, it's got DLNA.
DLNA, and everything has DLNA these days.
But, you know, All Share, okay, whatever.
Yeah. Do you think this? I mean, the last year the Galaxy S2 was really sort of top of the pile. It was the sort of phone of the year as far as Android was concerned. Do you think that's going to be the case with this? This conversation is a lot more.
I tell you,
these days.
I think you didn't have a big. I really don't like the word flagship. I know people like using it, and I get it, but HTC didn't do a flagship in 2011, really. I mean, you had
Sensation. Yeah, maybe.
But not really. Whereas HTC is going to push the hell out of this One line. You know, HTC One. In fact, I was noticing adverts, and I say adverts because I'm in London. If I were back home, I would say advertisements.
And I would have no idea what you meant.
Right. So we have ads in magazines now for the HTC One X and One S. But if you look, it just says HTC One.
Yeah.
So, like, you can almost just plant one phone in the other's ad and you would never notice. So HTC is, I think, going to market the hell out of the One line this year. That is going to be a big deal for them.
Yeah.
Whereas Samsung has always marketed the hell out of its stuff.
And I would fully expect
that's
going to
be. I was actually kind of going back and forth on Twitter with somebody, a friend of ours who works for Samsung, a couple months ago. And I was reminded something that I think, forget if it's my old newspaper editor or one of the circulation people said, but they said, look, we could sell as many newspapers as we want. The question is, how much money do we want to spend marketing to do it? If they, you know, if you market the crap out of something, you're going to sell more of them. So that's part of it. So I think that's really going to come into play over the next, you know, 3, 4, 6 months.
Do you think the, I don't know, to me there isn't the gulf in hardware and software between the 1X and the Galaxy S3 that there was last year, with the Galaxy S2 being miles ahead of everything
right.
else.
No, these, I think these are going to be much more on par with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to do some serious thinking about it. I'm not sure if Beats Audio is something to push HTC over the top, but it's a nice addition.
I think it would be if they kept to including Beats hardware with it. I think I can totally understand why they brought that out, because it's not something that they're not getting their money's worth out of it. People don't buy an HTC phone because of Beats hardware. But on the other hand,
I'm going to be real interested to see what they do from a marketing standpoint for the Media Link. And I've got one at home. I've been playing with it.
We saw a short ad today, and I think the thing it reminded me of was the Galaxy Nexus ad that we saw. You know, the series of ads that they put out, which is really sort of based on, you know, sort of you know, uplifting imagery and all the rest of this stuff.
Yeah. Not so much of people actually using the phone.
No, and I didn't notice that. We were waiting to see the phone, and we got one glimpse of it in the first ad. But I think it's going to be more about all these different features, like, you know, the phone turning off when you're not looking at it, all the kinds of social face recognition stuff.
Right.
I think that's going to be a big part of the marketing.
That's going to be a cool thing. I mean, I think I would like having my photos grouped a little better so that I can do things with them.
I mean, let's be honest. Most people's photo galleries are just a big mess of photos.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if you're using rapid shots and stuff like that. It's just, you just have loads of stuff there. It's going to be next to impossible to sort through them rather than just, you know, having a list of pre-prepared stuff.
All right, so the takeaway. Big, pretty good screen. I think even just...
I would say more than pretty good screen. Not as good as the 1X, but right. It's very, very, very good.
It is very good. You can see a little bit of pixelization. How much of that, or pixelation?
Pixelization.
Pixelization? Pixelized. But that's because I'm looking for it.
I wasn't looking for it, and I didn't notice it at all.
Okay. So, yeah, I'll be curious to see what all you guys out there have to say about that. So, big, good screen. Big, above-average screen.
Very, very fast. I mean, sure, yeah. It's quad-core, but the quad-core and fast are two separate things.
Sure.
Just because something has hardware doesn't necessarily mean it'll be a fast user experience. And this is a fast phone.
Thin light.
Yep.
Nicely designed. I think it's put together well. It feels good. It's not creaky.
We say this about a lot of phones, but, you know, the old classic line, feels good in the hand. It does feel good in the hand.
Sure.
Same as the One series does.
It's plasticky. The thing's made out of plastic.
It's shiny plastic, and it's a Samsung phone. It's made out of shiny plastic.
If you don't like that, sorry. You're going to have to either get over it or get another phone.
Yeah.
Or get a case, yeah. Go shopandroid.com for those of you, us, back in the States. The button thing, again, I'm not going to read too much into that just because that's going to change, I think. I think Alex is right.
Yeah, I would expect Galaxy S4 predictions already, but I would expect the next series of the next flagship from Samsung, when they're not sort of saddled with this Olympic branding, probably would go to a different button setup.
Okay.
I think the reason they're doing it is just for branding reasons.
And US carriers, I think you're right, will probably see
something. I don't know.
So that was something I actually asked Alex on the way back here, walking back to our hotel, is what do you think, are the US carriers going to screw it up?
I think some of them will. I won't say which ones, but I'm allowed to say that. They can't get me over here. But I think the GSM carriers, I would guess AT&T will get it. Who knows about T-Mobile? That's a guess. Nothing's been announced.
Yeah, I mean, I tell you, 3 out of 4 got it last year, so that's good.
I think it's easier for them to take a GSM phone and just slap their branding on it like they did with the 1X and get it out there. And they're going to want to, because the amount of hype Samsung's built, not just in Europe where it's been released first, but internationally.
Yes.
People want this around the world.
So that's going to do it, I think, from London. Coming up... Actually, before we say coming up, head into the forums. We've got, the Galaxy S3 forums have been going nuts for weeks. This is not new. But we'll be answering questions in there as much as we can. It's going to be a little tough for me because I'm flying back all day Friday, so I'll be out of touch.
Yep. I will be around. Richard will be around.
Yes. So, and they'll both be at have been at the event as well. We've got CTI coming up starting this Sunday. We'll be there in New Orleans.
Do you reckon we'll see it again then? Maybe some variant of it?
Samsung's not going to have a booth. Okay, so I'm not sure what's going on. It could be a carrier announces something, but, again, we've had no U.S. carrier announcements. Mm. So.
And we haven't even had any leaks, which is in itself kind of strange.
Yeah. So we'll see, but we got tons more coming up. So head into Yield Forums, go read all the posts we've done today, and thank you guys for listening and making it worth the trip over here. Say bye, Alex.
Bye, Alex.
Later, everybody.